Jill Anderson is a naturalist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology, or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hi.
Well, they're a pretty good-sized weasel. They're dark brown, they're sleek, fast, and great hunters. So talk to us about the fisher.
Fishers are well adapted to winter, so this is a perfect time of year to talk about fishers, because beautiful, beautiful fur coats, really bulked out and tuned up for winter wear, and an animal that's on the move all the time in the winter. So this isn't an animal that, you know, is hibernating or going into some sort of dormancy for a while. They're out and about and active. And so something one might see, easily seen on the white snow, if you're out and see them outdoors. So they're an animal that's 2 to 3 feet long. That includes a big bushy tail, and they're bulkier than most martens, although there is some overlap in size. So they're part of the same family, the weasel family, as the marten and the pine marten and the mink and the other little weasels. But they're the biggest that we have here in the weasel family, and so their size overlaps a bit with the martens. The largest martens and the smallest fishers can be similar size and weight. But generally, fishers are bigger, and the males can get up to 18 pounds. But on average, they'd be a 6 to 8 pound animal. Dark brown to black, grizzled coat. If you get a really good look at one, they may have kind of a light patch on their chest, like some often martens do as well. So, but the ones that I saw in person were much more muscular looking than a marten. Now, maybe that's not the greatest description, but I don't know. You've seen them. Mm-hmm. Is that how you?
Yeah, I would too. Yes, they do look like they mean business. They're not quite as gracile as the pine marten is.
Sure. But they are very quick. They are very agile. They're actually the best climbers of all the weasels. So even though pine martens are really good, the fishers are even better. They're actually faster climbers than a red squirrel. So so they can move that bulk very effectively and efficiently. They're a really successful and efficient predator, going after lots of small mammals, you know, chipmunks, squirrels, red squirrels, hares. They've even been accounts of them, if they come upon them, you know, find them, little deer fawns, you know, the young, really young deer fawns. But they also eat lots of nuts and berries. So you could even see them up in a tree going after a lot of those mountain ash berries that are still hanging around. They also partake of all that good stuff. And they also eat carrion. So deer kill, whatever, you know, a wolf kill site that they haven't taken everything. It is definitely a place where a fisher might be observed. So this time of year, their territories range from 7 to 10 square miles. So they, you know, have a fairly large territory for the size animal they are. And they're, like I said, on the move a lot, looking for food. The females, starting in February, are going to be looking for their den site. Fairly recent study here in Minnesota of fishers had identified that large diameter trees are far and away their most desirable den sites. They will use other things, you know, big, if you have, like up here, we have some cliffs where there's big rock piles of big block talus at the base or something, and there might be lots of passages that they could have access to that they could use as a den site to get back in, you know, out of sight. But far and away, the most commonly used den sites were big old trees over 2 feet in diameter with poles, hollows that had been created by woodpeckers or and decay. So they'll start looking for them. They usually pick out more than one. They have some backups because they tend to move their young kits fairly frequently, probably to avoid, you know, being detected and preyed upon by other animals that are looking for something. And they're going to have those kits early March to mid-March. And then within like 10 days of giving birth, the females will be, besides taking care of those young kits and feeding themselves, they will also be looking for a mate, because they will mate again almost, like I said, within a couple weeks of when they give birth. And like other weasels, the marten, for instance, they also have this delayed implantation. So most of the year after the mating season, they will carry those embryos in a suspended kind of state for most of the time until about now. So a couple months gestation, and the embryos begin to fully develop. And so that's what's happening about now for the females, is that those embryos are beginning to actually continue to grow and will be born in early to middle March. So they're very much an animal of the forest. They used to be throughout Minnesota, not just here in the north, but the entire forested portion of the state. And they were even, you know, occasionally seen apparently in the prairie region of the state, but their forests are their chief habitat. And they were nearly exterminated in Minnesota through over-trapping, and then primarily already by 1900, they were just about wiped out in Minnesota. And then with significant habitat loss that happened in those years prior to 1900 and then into the early 20th century, eventually there were some regulation of hunt, of trapping of fishers. And it wasn't until, I think, 1977 or so that there was finally the Department of Natural Resources felt that the population was large enough to accommodate a trapping season again. So for many years prior to that, there was no legal taking of fishers. So since their near extermination, they have rebounded and have we have a significant population, one of the larger populations in the lower 48 states. The most common predator of fishers are bobcat. And that's another thing that this study here in Minnesota showed, was that as bobcat numbers increase, fisher numbers go down, and the females are typically the most vulnerable because they are the demographic within their population that is out the most and has to and is most active and exposed. So there's a competition between those two species for food. So in that way, the bobcat numbers affect fishers. But the study that was done in Minnesota also showed that bobcats were a major predator on adult female fishers. So we are lucky to have them in our woods and look forward to crossing their paths soon, I hope.
Jill Anderson regularly updates us with the goings-on in our woods and waters. Thanks for bringing us up to date on fishers.
You're so welcome.